Let's look at Psalm 127, verse 1. Keep your hearts open. Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. And New Living, same verse, says, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. And so it says here they built the house. It's not like they didn't build the house. They built the house, but they didn't build it according to God's specs or follow him in building it. They did it on their own, and it says that their time was wasted. And I think many believers today are building something, like the people in the world. Of course, that's what they're doing, but they're building something, and God has nothing to do with it. Kind of their own thing, trying to give God the plan and have him bless it, as opposed to getting the plan from him, which is already blessed. And so I don't want that to be your testimony. I don't want that to be the testimony of Good News Church, that our labor be wasted. I want our labor to be fruitful and to bear much for the kingdom. So how can it be that we build our house in vain? Well, Proverbs 3, one of my favorite verses, verse 5, will give us a little insight of how we can labor in vain. Proverbs 3, 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. What happens is there's a natural understanding. It says here, lean not to your own understanding. What's he talking about? The world's system of knowledge. The world's, the knowledge that they've accumulated. It says, don't lean to that. Acknowledge him and he will direct you, your path. See, you have to understand there's at least two understanding, knowledge to have. There's natural understanding and then there's supernatural understanding. Say supernatural understanding. Supernatural understanding supersedes the natural. It's more real. It's more powerful. And, you know, and so going along with that, there's two realms of existence. There's the natural realm that we experience, and then there's the spirit realm. And those are operating at the same time. And the spirit realm is more, you know, really more real, if you can say it that way. It's more real than this realm. And I can give you some examples of that. And so what happens is we don't want to rely on this natural world. We don't want to rely on our natural understanding because that's not going to be good enough for the plans that he has for us. So let me give you a couple examples of this other realm. You remember the story in 2 Kings 6, if you want to turn there, you can. You remember the story about the king of Syria, he's at war with Israel. And the Elijah the prophet is telling the king of Israel troop movements of Syria. And the king of Syria is disturbed by this. Obviously, his plans are thwarted, and he's trying to destroy Israel, and he seems like everywhere he goes, they're one up on him. And so he asked one of his servants, like, what's going on here? And the servant says, the king has a prophet that's telling him what you're saying in your bedchambers, in your bedroom. And so the king of Assyria wants to know where the prophet is. And so he wants to go get him, I guess, get him on his side. So let's pick up the story, 2 Kings 6, verse 14. Therefore he sent horses, king of Syria, horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Now he's not looking at the natural. He's looking at the supernatural. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So there's another world operating. And so many people are well, first of, you know, if you're lost, you don't even know about it. And many believers are just living according to natural means. But there's more, and we have to realize that and be aware of that in our lives. We have to learn how to tap into that supernatural world. Another scripture that talks about the supernatural, Ephesians 6, verse 11. Put on the God's whole armor, the armor of a heavy armed soldier which God supplies, that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the strategies and deceits of the devil. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending with only physical opponents. These situations that you're dealing with, you know, so many of us, you're dealing with the physical. And if you're dealing with the enemy, that's not going to be enough. And you're going to be frustrated. And many times you're going to be going backwards. And it's going to seem like it's getting worse. And you're fighting and fighting and fighting in the natural, and you're not getting anywhere. That's because there's another realm. There's something operating behind the scenes. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits, the world rulers of this present age, present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. There is another realm. And it's a realm of angels and demons and all of that. And we need to learn how to navigate in this world that we live in. I was talking to someone the other day, ministering to him, and it was very difficult to minister to them because everything that happened to them was God's will. Good, bad, ugly, whatever, it was all God doing it. And so it was very difficult to get the truth to them. Obviously didn't know John 10:10, is the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. You have to know God's purpose, and you have to know the enemy's purpose. And so I was having a difficult time, and they were talking to me about God working in mysterious ways. And I think a lot of folks see that, and this is really an Old Testament mentality. Look at Isaiah 55, verse 8. Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. No, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And you know, certainly that's true. I mean, there's truth there. I mean, God is wisdom. God is truth. God is understanding. God is knowledge. He knows everything. So, I mean, I'm not going to argue that. But people will use this verse to say, well, there's just things I'm not supposed to understand. And really, as kind of a cop-out for not really digging in a little deeper into the things of God. Because I think, you know, looking at God's heart. And so this is Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, you'll see this, you know, studying the scriptures, there's a different relationship with God in the Old Testament than the New Testament. And it's a new covenant based on bread of promises, and it's all about Jesus. Because he paid the price. It's because of his sacrifice. But one of the big differences is the whole relationship with God. In the Old Testament, they're seeking guidance through the prophet. They're seeking guidance through lots, you know, drawing lots, angels, other kind of means. And in the New Testament, we have a different relationship because instead of the Spirit of God coming upon us, He comes to live inside of us. And so there's a difference. And so they had to go to the prophet. And so, I mean, so I understand these verses, but we've got a different relationship, a different covenant based on Jesus. And there's a different understanding and a different knowledge that we have an opening for that they did not have. They used fleeces. You know what a fleece is? Well, if the next car that drives by me is red, then God's going to do such and such. You know, fleece. People still do use those kind of things. Or they'll use open door, closed door method. If the door is open, then that's from God. And if it's closed, then I shouldn't go that way. But what happens if the enemy's closed the door and you're supposed to open it? What happens if something's open that's not from God? So, I mean, we have all these different things. And so I'll just say this, and I hope it's not your situation. Most believers live under the old covenant. And there's a lot of good things. Children of Israel, they had some blessings. Blessings of Abraham. But it's limited. And I want to walk in unlimited. The Old Testament is limited. Under the New Testament, it's unlimited. And so most believers living under the Old Covenant, they've not developed themselves spiritually. They're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit. They don't know God's voice. And a sign of immaturity is not knowing God's voice. You learn God's voice through His Word. That's why it's important to read and study your Bible. But as you begin to grow, I mean, it's just like an infant to a young person to being more mature. You grow in the things of God. But as you mature, you begin to learn His voice because He's speaking. He's speaking, but many people, they don't know His voice. Or they're looking for some kind of a natural sign to hear from God. That's Old Testament. So I got some good news for you found in 1 Corinthians. I'm going to get me a drink of water, and then I'm coming down there where you're at. It's good. You got to go look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Oh, man, I read 1 Corinthians 1 through 10 yesterday. Man, it's good stuff. You ought to spend some time in that book. Oh, my goodness. But I just focused on chapter 2. And I'm going to read these verses to you and make some comments. But this is new covenant I'm about to share with you. This is because of Jesus. This is because of the gospel. This is because of the good news. His life, His death, His burial, His resurrection. That's the gospel. That's the good news. Paying the penalty for our sins. Reconciling us to God. Making us sons and daughters as opposed to just servants under the Old Testament. Now, I want to serve Him, but I'm His servant's son. There's a difference. There's a difference being in the house as a son or in the house as a servant. Still good in the house. But it's better being a son or a daughter. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. Yet when we are among the full grown, this is what I want you to be. Full grown, spiritually mature Christians who are ripe in understanding. We want you here at Good News Church to grow up. To grow up. Don't be a baby. It's okay to be a baby. It's okay to be younger. But don't stay there. Keep on growing. We do impart a higher wisdom, the knowledge of the divine plan previously hidden. But it is indeed not a wisdom of this present age. See, talking about that natural wisdom. Or of this world, nor the leaders and the rulers of this age who are being brought to nothing and are doomed to pass away. Earthly knowledge is going to pass away. Be putting your faith in the government or governments or, you know, people that the world promotes. Don't put your faith in them. They're going to come and they're going to go. Don't follow the celebrities. Don't follow the sports stars. Don't follow all these people. Don't follow their writings. Don't get caught up in all that. It's going to come to nothing. It's just the world. It's foolishness. But we give it a lot of time and a lot of attention. Doomed to pass away. But rather, what we are setting forth is a wisdom of God once hidden from the human understanding, from the natural understanding, which God devised and decreed before the ages for our glorification to lift us into the glory of his presence. None of the rulers of this age or world perceived and recognized and understood this, for if they had, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't understand it. They just couldn't figure out Jesus. Didn't figure out, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. They didn't understand it. Had they understood it, they wouldn't have killed him. But on the contrary, as the Scripture says, what eye has not seen and ear has not heard and has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared, made and keeps ready for those who love him. Do you love him today? Who hold him in affectionate reverence, promptly obeying him and greatly recognizing the benefits he has bestowed. Yet to us, God has unveiled. Listen now. You're a son and daughter of God. If you've been born again, if you've been saved, you've received Jesus as your Lord, made a commitment to him, whatever terminology you want to use. We're talking about you here. You're not under the old covenant. This is a new covenant. This is talking about you. Yet to us, God has unveiled and revealed them by and through his Spirit. It's by the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit searches diligently, exploring, examining everything, even sounding the profound and bottomless things of God, the divine counsels and things hidden and beyond man's scrutiny. For what person perceives, knows, and understands what passes through a man's thoughts except the man's own spirit within him? Just so no one discerns, comes to know, and comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Verse 12. Now we have not received the spirit that belongs to the world. Stop living in the world. I know we live in the world. I still have laundry to do and the yard and all that stuff. I wish I didn't. Still have natural things to do. But we are supernatural people. We have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit is from God, given to us that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor. Oh my goodness. Gifts of divine favor and blessings so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God. All these blessings. Go back and study the blessings of Abraham. But there's a whole lot more to it. It is bestowed on you. It's not based on, am I good enough? Or am I anointed enough? Am I called to the ministry? No, it is bestowed on you, his lavish blessings, his goodness. And it was bestowed on you before the foundation of the world. God had prepared it for you. It's there, but it's by the Holy Spirit that we tap into it. It's available, but it doesn't mean you're walking in it. Verse 13, and we are setting these truths forth in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit, combining, interpreting spiritual truths with spiritual language to those who possess the Holy Spirit. But the natural, non-spiritual man does not accept or welcome or admit into his hearts the gifts and teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God. They are folly. And don't be upset if people make fun of you. Don't be upset if people make fun of the things you say. Don't be upset if people make fun of you going to church or talking about God or Bible study or saying praise God or whatever. They just don't understand. So just have patience with them. Love them. They're ignorant. Meaningless nonsense to him. And he is incapable of knowing that. Incapable of knowing them. Of progressively recognizing, understanding, and becoming better acquainted with them. Because they are spiritually discerned. We are spiritual people. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. But so many of the body dominates. And it's supposed to be the spirit dominates the soul and the body. Not the soul and the body dominates the spirit. Spiritually discerned and estimated and appreciated. But the spiritual man tries all things. He examines, investigates, inquires into, questions, and discerns all things. Yet is himself to be put on trial and judged by no one. He can read the meaning of everything, but no one can properly discern or appraise or get insight into him. For who has known or understood the mind, the counsel and purposes of the Lord, so as to guide and instruct him and give him knowledge? Listen now, but we have the mind of Christ. We're not trying to get it. We have the mind of Christ, the Messiah, and do hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart. Yes. Say that, I have the mind of Christ. Need a revelation of that. We have the mind of Christ. So people talking about a mystery, and yeah, there's a whole lot of mysteries. But what that is means it's something that's hidden. And if you do a little study in this 1 Corinthians 2, it is talking about that believer, that mature believer. What's it saying to is this is someone that's initiated into the faith by making Jesus their Lord, and by being initiated, the wisdom of God is now open to them. Understanding is now available to them to understand spiritual things. And that's why you can understand salvation. I mean, it's a lifetime grasping all of it, but I know I'm going to heaven. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. I believe he walked the earth. I believe in miracles. I believe in miracles, signs, and wonders. I believe that I'm in Christ. I believe that I have a new identity. I believe that old things are passed away and behold, all things are new. I believe that I'm more than a conqueror in Christ. I believe that I'm his ambassador. I'm his representative. I am a minister of reconciliation. I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I have redemption in him. He bought and paid for me with his blood. So many things that we can understand. And see, what I'm talking about here is I'm talking about revelation. Revelation. And because of the Holy Spirit, which I'm calling the great revealer, what that word is talking about mysteries in 2 Corinthians, in the New King James. What it's talking about is it's talking about something hidden, but something comes along, and it's like that, like, well, say that stained glass window up there. Right now, we can't see what's on the other side. It's veiled. We see some light, but we don't know what's on the other side of that. If we were to remove that, and that was open, and that was clear, and you could see, that's revelation. Pull the blinds up. Remove the veil. Remove the curtains. And see, God wants to do that on a daily basis with you. He wants to show you things hidden from the world, foundation of the world, things that have been hidden. He wants to reveal them to you and show them. But we have to have that heart that engages, that heart that draws near, that heart that is sensitive, that heart that is humble. Because he's not going to give you all this revelation and then hurt you with it because you can't handle it. He's going to give you as much as you can handle. But on the other hand, there's no limit. You don't just get revelation and then you stop. There's no limit to revelation from God. But it's not going to come through human reasoning. The things that you need to move forward in your life, the things that you're believing for, the vision and the dreams that you've been given by God, is not going to come to you by natural reasoning. It's going to come through supernatural understanding. It's going to come by the Spirit of God. Many believers, they don't believe there's anything beyond this physical life. But there's so much more. And we've got to walk in that revelation of the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. You got to talk to yourself. And I'm not, God's the judge, but I want to be a full-grown, mature believer. I don't want to be a baby. I don't want to be an infant. I don't want to be a child. I don't want to be a young adult. I want to be mature in the things of God where I can handle the things that I need, the revelation that I need to fulfill his plan for my life. I don't want to live like a baby with just little drops, living on a bottle. I mean, I don't know about you, but I want the steak. Yeah. Had me a good grilled hamburger yesterday. Oh, my goodness.
You didn't call me?
Grilled hamburger, onions on it. I don't know if you like mustard, but I had some mustard on there. Ketchup. Oh, man. That was so much better than the baby formula. John 16, verse 14. And that's why there's just been this fight about the Holy Spirit. And we make it about tongues, but it's really about the Holy Spirit. And the importance of the Holy Spirit coming to live on the inside of us. God himself, the person of the Holy Spirit, he's a person, comes to live inside of us. And he speaks to us through our spirit, to our minds. And he's wanting to show us a whole lot of things, but we've got to be open. First of all, we've got to know he's there. And we've got to know about him. And then we've got to want to be intimate with him. But this will just show you the Holy Spirit's heart, God's heart here. John 16, verse 14. Who's a big text person? Texting? Anybody? And there's even people over 40 that are raise their hand. That's amazing. I can text my son over in Thailand, and I can communicate with him. And I've got a lot of different ways to communicate, but it's pretty amazing. And, you know, I'm thinking about this. I mean, I think where they're going with all that is they want to get that cell phone inside of us. Not just in your ear or just right, you know, get it in you so you can communicate. But we could text.
This is a prophecy.
I'm working on it right now. Anybody want to be a guinea pig? But that ability to communicate, that we can share, we can transmit messages to the other side of the world. Isn't that amazing? Start with a telegraph. You know. Look at where we're at now.
Yeah.
Anybody remember the phones that had the cords on them? Anybody here? Remember the cordless phone? Wow. I can go outside. I've got the cordless.
It was
crazy. Susie had one of the first cell phones that came out because of her job when we were in Tulsa. I mean, the thing weighed about 50 pounds. It came in a big bag. And I'm just thinking, this is not very convenient. But that's world, the world's technology. And it's all from God. Now, don't get me wrong. It's all from Him. But look at what it says. Are we there yet? John 16, verse 14. He will honor and glorify me because he will take of, receive, draw upon what is mine, and will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. Transmit it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. That is what I meant when I said that He, the Spirit, will take the things that are mine and will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. This doesn't sound to me like a God that's trying to hide things. Now, it's hidden from the world, but from what I can see, He's not trying to hide it from believers. Well, then why aren't we walking it? It's because we're not open to it. And there is obedience involved, and so that's part of it. But then there's also character and love. Again, He's not going to give you more than you can handle. So we're really getting as much. This is kind of a downer on Father's Day. We're really getting as much revelation as we could handle. And it's good. I mean, a lot of good things. But I do believe He's got more. Because I know you, and I know where you're going. I know where God's taking you. And I'm telling you there's more. And so certainly we need to be in His Word. Certainly we need to be fellowshipping and talking about the Word. But you remember over in Corinthians, I read it in my time in Corinthians. It was talking about praying in tongues. And it says you're praying a mystery. It's the same word that's used over, you know, back in 1 Corinthians 2. It's a mystery. You're praying out a mystery. But then it says, I pray in the Spirit, but then I pray with my understanding. Why? So my mind will be fruitful. So I think there's a key there. And I think all of us could probably pray in tongues a little more. I'm not saying to do this. We're not trying to copy any. I'm reading a book by Brother Hagin called Plans, Purpose, and Pursuits. Great book. But I'm reading that right now, and he's just talking about some amazing things that he witnessed by the Spirit of God in the 30s and the 40s that we're not seeing in the church today. But he was talking about one of the big breakthroughs that he had, and it's when God showed him the healing revival after World War II. The healing revival was coming. God showed him that after praying in tongues for 5 hours. I'm not saying pray in tongues. I'm saying follow God. But I think we could all probably pray a little more. If we want more. And so God showed him what was going to happen. And then he was prepared. God has prepared things already. He wants to show you those things. He's already prepared. Over in Ephesians, it talks about the eyes of my heart being enlightened. We need to be praying about that, speaking that, because your heart has eyes. Brother Hagin used to talk about this, the spirit of seeing and knowing. God wants us to know things before they happen. Why? So we can be prepared. Yeah. We can be prepared and we can help others to get ready for what's going to happen. But there's just, I got to stop, but there's just so many different things. We should be ministering to others supernaturally. In our marriages should be supernatural. We're trying to follow the natural wisdom about marriage. God's got supernatural. Raising our kids. On our businesses. There's a great book, biography, about R.G. Letourneau. And this guy did some amazing things in inventions and in earth moving and started a university in Libya. Is it Libya? Liberia. Liberty University. And God revealed to him inventions, huge earth moving machines, revealed it to him by the Holy Spirit. And it was out of need. He was doing different jobs and he had to make money and he couldn't do the jobs with the equipment that he had. And the Lord showed him how to, you know, this new piece of equipment that he made. He just, you know, on his own was able to do twice the work. And he just kept on, but he kept on pressing. He was never satisfied. And then, and I'm talking, I mean, massive pieces of equipment. The Holy Spirit revealed it to him. What does he have for us? I don't know about inventions. But certainly he knows how to get our bills paid. How to bring that dream to reality. The Spirit of God knows. But you've got to cultivate a relationship. That's on our part. We've got to draw near. He's just not going to do it. He's not going to make you get saved. He's not going to make you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. He's not going to make you pray. He's not going to make you read your Bible. He's not going to make you tithe. He's not going to make you do any of that. It's all out of willingness. But if we'll open our hearts even a little, he'll come flooding in. And Tanya, I'm just telling you, there's a natural way, but there's a supernatural way. You want that supernatural way. And that's by the Holy Spirit. And he wants to speak. But we have to open our hearts to listen. And he's going to work with you right where you're at. If you're a baby, if you're a child, if you're a young adult, mature, wherever you're at. All right, I'm going to close. I am closing now. Maybe. But remember the whole story about Cornelius in Acts 10. Cornelius is praying, and an angel appears to him. You know, the answers that you're needing, send someone to Peter. Why wasn't an angel? Because he's not a believer. God wanted to get to the message. He couldn't speak to him by the Spirit, so he sent an angel. Then you have Peter. And you can really read about it further on in, I think maybe in Acts 11, because it doesn't say that in Acts 10. But so Peter has this vision and all of that, and then the guys from Joppa, from Cornelius' house, come, and they hook up together. But in Acts 11, it says Peter went to Cornelius, the Spirit led him to go to Cornelius' house. And you know that the Holy Spirit came upon the Gentiles. And it was a big deal, a really big deal, because we're here as a result of that. But Peter needed a revelation, and I noticed he was in prayer, and it was a supernatural vision that he had, and Peter didn't understand it. The Spirit helped him to understand. But I'm just thinking about ministry in this city. God's going to work in supernatural means in the lost. Was 180? 150 lost people. He's going to 150,000, I mean, that's what I meant, lost people in this area. God's going to be working on their end, but are we going to be obedient on our end to do our part? If we do, man, we're going to have Book of Acts type miracles. Who wants that? But I just know that God always does more. And the book of Acts is just the standard. He wants to go beyond that. But are we willing to go beyond that? Are we willing to follow Him? And it's going to have to be laying down some things. I didn't say laying down, going to sleep. I meant laying down some things. I think we're ready. I think we're ready. I think we're ready. I think things that we've been doing, we've been praying a lot and learning a lot of new things and doing some new things. But I think we're ready to lay down some things, to have more of what God wants, and for our eyes to be opened and for have that spirit of seeing and knowing. And it's all about helping people. It's all about reaching people. We're going to get blessed in the midst of it, but it's for others. And He wants to do something supernatural in this area. And we're not the only church, the only people who are going to be a part of it, but I want to be one of those. Not for selfish reasons, for my glory, but I want to be on the game. I don't want to be in the spectator. I want to be on the field, in the game, getting my jersey dirty. Remember that? I was second string back in football. And, you know, sometimes if I didn't get in the game, I would kind of lay down in the dirt and get a little dirty. So my parents or whoever I was going to see after the game, man, his jersey's dirty. How lame is that? I don't want to be that guy. I want to be in the game, actually getting my jersey dirt. Now, I did play more. Now, I did play, so there you go. It's Father's Day. Let's stand, everybody.